the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by the Alabama Department of Public Health. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Protect yourself and others against COVID and flu. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM. Here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
He came to Auburn as a walk-on pitcher from Marion Military Academy. Scott Sullivan had never been to the Plains and didn't even know who Hal Baird was. The intent was Sullivan would become the batting practice pitcher, no more. Sullivan's break came when Hal Baird saw him throw a ball from the outfield, sidearm. Thus began Sullivan's career as a top-notch reliever at Auburn, with a 10-year career in Major League Baseball. Last weekend, Sullivan and former Auburn basketball player and coach Larry Chapman were inducted into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Part two of the remarkable story of Scott Sullivan is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health.
What was your debut in Major League Baseball? What was that like to get that? I don't know if it was a call or you went into your skipper's office and then that call to family. I mean, take us through that scenario.
Well, we were in Oklahoma City. I was in AAA. And Mark Bombard was our manager, and he called me into his hotel room and said, Scott, you're going to the big leagues.
Just as a matter of fact.
You know, because, you know, he's got a lot to do. You know, he's got somebody taking my place, and you're really just like a beef cow, to tell you the truth. I mean, they'll just move you to another pasture and get another cow, you know, when they when they use you up, you know. So I flew from Oklahoma City to the Dallas airport. They had a tornado warning. I sat for 4 hours on the runway in the plane. Cincinnati had a day game against the New York Mets that day. The following day, which my debut.
Cincinnati or New York?
Cincinnati. We're playing in Cincinnati, but we're playing against the Mets.
Right.
I get to the stadium, or I get to my hotel at 7:30 a.m. Just take a shower, you know, slept on the plane, get to the game, and my first guy was a guy named Bobby Bonilla, switch hitter. And I faced him, got him 0-2, tried to paint the corner away, kind of waste one a little bit, make him reach, threw it right down the middle, belly button high, and he popped it up. But you know, it's interesting, Andy, when it was a dual purpose stadium for the most of my career in Cincinnati.
And it was the cookie cutters that were built back in the 60s, Pittsburgh, and the 70s, Philadelphia.
Yeah, sure, all of them the same. And that started transitioning during my time.
Right.
One of the things that I did every day is you walked into a room, kind of a media room, when you entered the stadium.
Okay.
And if you were on the 25-man roster, your picture was up there. So when you opened that door, I could look up and see where my picture was, all right?
You had a job that day.
I had a job. And that may be simple, but that was something that I looked at every single day, because you know what? Some days you'd open that door and there would be a space there. And you're like, okay, who was supposed to be there because they've gotten sent down or traded or released or something of that nature? I mean, it's an interesting professional process. You know, when you're in spring training, if you get traded or released, you know, you got so many people in the minor leagues that they let you go to your designated area. And they wait for you to start stretching as a team, because they can see the players and the jerseys, and they can say, okay, Sullivan. So they got like a horn that they go, Sullivan, you know, and they drive you away in a golf cart and you don't see Sullivan anymore. Mm. You know, he's released or traded or whatever it may be. You know, when I got traded to the White Sox, I knew I was probably going to get traded. It was in 03. We had just opened the stadium, the Great American Ballpark. And we were not doing well. So they were trading old cows like me and getting rid of us. And I knew I was going to probably get traded. So I asked the management not to trade me till the birth of my child. My third child, Lily, was being born any day. And they honored that request. Hmm. My daughter was born on a Monday. The next day, I fly to Arizona to play the Diamondbacks, get traded from the bullpen. The manager called me from the bullpen. I thought I'd maybe go in the game. No, I was going to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't even get to take my wife and child home from the hospital. So I'm in Chicago in a hotel room, and my wife is wearing it, you know, being being a mother of three and a newborn, of course, in Cincinnati. And, you know, without family, you just can't do it. Without friends, you can't do it. And the whole career is supported by Auburn family, my immediate family, and friends that have supported me through my career.
You last 10 years in Major League Baseball. And one of the driving forces is the fact that, man, you could throw all the time. Durability. We talked about that word.
Yeah.
What led to the durability of your pitching success in a decade-long Major League Baseball career?
Well, one, I'm probably not real smart, Andy. When the phone rang and they said they needed somebody to pitch, I pitched. And honestly, it probably hurt me in the long run, but it was just my personality. You know, I just did, if there was an opportunity to compete, I was just stubborn enough to find a way, even though I didn't have my best stuff, and some days it was very short outings, but I wanted to compete, and I wanted to help my team win in any capacity necessary. If I'd have said no a couple of times, then I may have a little more longevity, because I ended up getting hurt, which a lot of sidearmers have back issues. And that's what happened. You know, my back started failing on me. I finally ended up having a spinal fusion surgery that ended my career. Because sidearmers, it's unique, is over the top, you have one linear motion. You know, everything's going in one direction. Your lower half and your upper half trying to deliver. You've got a delivery system. You're just like you're trying to deliver a bat to the ball, you're trying to obviously deliver that ball to that target. But a sidearm is different, especially at throwing from 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a linear lower half and a rotational upper half, and that there's a pivot point somewhere, and that was in my L1 and L2, and it finally gave away, and I was able to get blessed with some cadaver bones and some pins and rods and screws and that kind of thing. But I tell you, Andy, I don't know if I'd have changed it. When that phone rang, man, I was just, I looked for the opportunity to compete.
Second in Cincinnati history with 494 pitching appearances. Ended your career with a 3.98 ERA and 622 strikeouts. Completely out of the bullpen as a major leaguer, correct?
Correct.
What's the longest stint that you had as a major leaguer?
You know, it's interesting, in that 4 to 5 inning range, and the reason is because it was the innings that not accumulated on my arm, it was the my batting. You know, I was up in the lineup. So if we were in a situation where we had an opportunity offensively, believe me, they didn't want me up there, right? You know, they would double switch, you know, yeah. And that was more common. You know, you had the double switches that put me in the 9-hole or the 9th batter, right, whoever I was switching with, and gave me an inning or two to pitch. And then a lot of times, you know, I got that at bat, and it was horribly embarrassing for me and my family, because one of the things that...
For your family.
Oh, yeah, everybody's embarrassed. I had 4 major league hits.
4.
4 out of 40-something.
But you have 4 major league hits.
I have 4. However, here's what I say about my bats, privately. When I struck out very efficiently.
I understand.
Yeah, it was 1-2-3.
Right.
You know, smell you later, Sullivan. You know, when I'm up there facing, you know, in the later innings, John Smoltz, okay, he's giving me one fastball. And if I don't get that bunt down on that fastball or put that ball in play, I'm seeing a 93-94 slider. You know, I'm seeing slider. We don't hit. You know, we didn't take batting practice.
How many swings would you get in a batting practice? Before a game, would you get any?
No.
None.
Okay. We would have pitchers batting practice maybe once a week.
Okay.
And that was only at home games.
Sure.
And then usually the guy that was throwing batting practice, Andy, literally was the worst batting practice. He would be throwing scud missiles. So what you would you wanted to swing, right? So you just started swinging anything.
Why not?
Why not?
Right.
And you only got one or two swings because you always played games. It was like, or if you get a hit, next guy has to bunt. All right, pitchers.
Did you keep stats?
No.
Season-long stats?
No, it was just kind of like the starters versus the relievers.
Okay.
You know, every day during batting practice. And the other thing is the risk-reward. They didn't want you to take batting practice because you may get hurt.
Right.
You know, or something odd may happen, and, you know, you got paid to pitch. Not I'm glad I didn't get paid to hit. But one of the things that would happen is right when I started swinging the bat, I would tilt my head because that was my arm angle, right?
Yeah.
You know, that was my hand-to-head ratio.
Right.
It's not very effective hitting because when your head tilts, that arm drops. When your head tilts, that barrel head drops. Right. So you get one foul ball, and then it's exit stage left.
War Eagle, it's a great day for Auburn Tigers to get vaccinated. Many children and adults that delayed vaccinations during the pandemic are still behind schedule. It's crucial that we take steps to get everyone back on track with their routine immunizations. Children and teens can still catch up on their vaccinations even if they start late. Make sure you and your family are all up to date on all recommended vaccines, including COVID-19 and flu. Let's all do our part to get back on track. Don't wait. Vaccinate. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM.
In your everyday life, though, how many people that you talk to on a daily basis can say that I had 4 Major League Baseball hits? Think of it from that perspective.
You know, one of the things that, and I'll regress, one of them was an infield hit. Because you know what? They didn't think I would run. Because most pitchers hit it,
right,
second base, you know, they just jog. Straight out sprinting.
Beat feet, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was trying to run as fast as I could possibly, and I beat it out. So one of them was an infield hit.
I would be disappointed if I ever knew that Scott Zolomon took it easy. To me, that is not Scott Zolomon.
Yeah, I don't do that. Yeah, but I had a couple. I had a lot of opportunity. I had a lot more opportunity than most people, too, though, Andy.
When did you know that the career was over?
You know, I knew I was fading quickly. And it's frustrating, Andy. It is really frustrating, you know, and I see it, you know, in several people as they age, and I felt it as an athlete, is your mind is telling your body to do something. And your mind is there, but your body just can't perform that action. And I was in so much pain pitching.
Back?
Yes. Is that I had to stay down. I mean, I had to stay down. Once I got my arm in that 3 o'clock slot in my head there, my body has to stay in the same plane. Well, physically, I couldn't stay in the plane, so I'd have to raise up. So when you raise your chin up, there's an opposite and equal reaction. Well, your fingers get up under the ball. So the sink wasn't there, the life wasn't there. So I would have to come out of my stance as pitching-wise in my delivery, and I was elevating the ball, and I spent a lot of time backing up third base or asking for a new pelota, which is not good either.
Yeah.
And then it just compounds. You know, your mind starts pressing. And unfortunately, I finished in Kansas City, which were, there were some great people and some great teammates. And unfortunately, I just couldn't perform like I wanted to. And, you know, that was one of my prayers, Andy, that the Lord would end it. And that may sound odd, but I experienced a lot of old timers and people would come back and said, yeah, I could have played, but I, you know, they were a little bitter at times, Andy.
Right.
And I didn't want to be like that. So literally I'm in Los Angeles, California, just had spinal fusion surgery. And I'm watching, staring at the tiles in the ceiling, and I'm praying through the ceiling and saying, Lord, it's over. Thank you. You know, I rejoice in the fact that you've given me as much time as you have. Because coming from West Alabama, you know, be able to, you know, play in the big leagues, meet several presidents of the United States, and be able to hang around with some wonderful men and some wonderful teammates, and to have some of those experiences was special.
What do you miss the most about your active baseball days?
Relationships.
Yeah.
There's nothing that compares to the relationships that you have with your teammates, because you're in the clubhouse, you're on the planes with them, you're on the field with them competing, you're on bus rides, you're eating with them all the time. It's just those special relationships and that bond and that camaraderie where you can jump on somebody and it's back and forth. But you know what? You know, at the end, if you look around, they're going to be beside you. And that's what's special. And when those teams, when you have that bond and everybody's pulling on the same rope or any of those analogies you want to use, man, it's a special, special time and feeling. And then when it's over, you're always trying to replicate it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but those teams and those relationships are special.
Scott will be the 10th Auburn baseball player inducted into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame, joining Jimmy and Billy Hitchcock, Jimmy Outlaw, Bo Jackson, Joe Beckwith, Frank Thomas, Tim Hudson, QV Lowe, and Hal Baird. The impact of Hal Baird on your life.
Well, I love him. He was really special to me for because he gave me a chance. You know, he believed in me. He kept me in college, got me able to get a degree. Just a special individual. You know, he was a pro ball coach in a college atmosphere. I mean, he treated you like a man. He expected you to act like a man, and he expected you to perform. And I like that, and I thrive on that. And he's just, he and Miss Janie are just special, special people.
Talk about your family.
I love them. A wife of over 30 years, met here in Auburn, okay, on Toomer Street. I still remember what she was wearing the day I saw her. I have a Seth, Lauren, and Lily. Seth is 25. He's in Huntsville, going through the police academy now. Mm. Lauren and her husband, Bronner, they met, both Auburn graduates. God blessed us with a James in December, so I have a grandchild now. And it's great to see your daughter loving your grandson or grandchild and really enjoying being a mother and a wife. And Bronner's been a wonderful son-in-law that we've been blessed with. He's very honoring to us and the way he treats my daughter.
Yeah.
And then I've got a Lily. And Lily is a sophomore here at Auburn, and I really like Lily. She's a special, special girl, and she's going through the pharmacy program.
Talk about your relationship with Butch Thompson.
He's another special, special individual. Butch, if my son had the ability to play college baseball, there's no other man in America that I would rather have my son under the authority of than Coach Thompson. He's an impactful individual, not only on the field, but for the Auburn family relationships, he's as strong as they get. And for the investment, not only in the sport of baseball, but in bringing young men at a very tender time of our lives, you know, when we were in college, into manhood, to be better husbands, better fathers, better employees, or employers. There's no better than Coach Thompson. He's got a great staff with Gabe Gross and Carl Nunnemaker and the others. They're just really great men. He and Miss Robin and their girls are just fabulous people, and I'm glad Auburn has them.
Are you Grandpa Sully? What are you called?
You know, I don't know. We haven't got there. He's only 4 months old, Annie. Right. I don't know what's come out of his mouth. You know, I'm not a master of the English language by any means, and actually had a speech impediment. I couldn't say S's.
Really?
Growing up.
Okay.
My name is Scott Sullivan. I couldn't say S's. That
puts you behind the eight ball right off the bat, doesn't it?
Ever since, I already look. It was challenging. So I have no idea what's going to come out of his mouth when that time it comes. However, I'm going to love him regardless.
Right.
It doesn't matter, but thank you for asking.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
You're most deserving to be in this Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. I hope you enjoy that weekend. I know of your character. I know of your humble nature. But I hope you allow yourself to enjoy that weekend.
Well, thank you, Annie. I'm doing everything I possibly can to prepare for it.
Have you written your speech?
I have not. I've got some ideas running through. You know, it's got to be short. So that's a challenge, because I don't speak very quickly. However, just that environment and to bring my family along with me is going to be special. And I'm thankful for the Auburn family and for Auburn University. And it's really neat to see the impact that Auburn has on people and the longevity of that impact and generational influence that impact has. And I'm extremely humbled and grateful to be an Auburn graduate and going into the Alabama Hall of Fame. It's going to be special for me and my family.
You have a great story to tell.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
War Eagle.
War Eagle.
For Scott Sullivan and the Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health, I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. War Eagle.